This is kind of a part two of a two-part small essay rant that I wanted to do. I don't really want to say an essay, but you could call it a rant. The first part, I said, oh, this ain't a rant. It's not going to be a rant. And 32 minutes later, you had a rant about classism. Even though that was the point I wanted to make in classism, this is kind of a part two of it. Classism, but kind of in a different outlook, where we will classify this this part two as know-it-alls versus common sense. Common sense people versus the know-it-alls. Now, the know-it-all folks are those, remember when I talked about classism, and you have your upper management, you have your doctors, your lawyers, anybody in a higher paying scale, because they are at a higher paying scale, people are expected to look at them or even respect them in a certain way, versus people who are either somewhat in the middle of the lower class or the lower paying scale people and the upper scale people, you're in the middle, or even the lower scale paid people. You're looked at as the garbage of the company. You're looked at as you could talk to them any way you want. You're expendable. All these other different facets in classism that are looked at the job place, the workplace, or even just in a social context outside of the workforce. But this know-it-alls versus common sense, you have your common sense people, which would be people you would consider like me or you. You do the work, you do the hard labor, but you have the know-it-alls, who are your upper management, who don't do the hard labor, but they can suggest to you how to do your job better. And the common sense people like us, who've been doing the footwork, who've been on the fields, on the slave fields, who have been putting in the work, sweating the labor out, could tell you how to do it better, or the suggestions how things could work better with common sense answers and facts. We could tell you how a job could be done better, but you have your know-it-alls who try to take the shortcuts, who know it all even though they don't do the field work. And again, I could take my job just an example. And, you know, I wish y'all would give me feedback on how your job is the same way, how I'm going to explain what I go through in my job on a daily basis. And I'm just talking about the hospital job. Now, like I told you before, I do phlebotomy. I work in a laboratory. I process blood. But most of the time, I'm collecting the blood samples from patients. So we're having interactions with the patients. And this is more, I'm going to talk about phlebotomists being the common sense people who know the workload, who perform the job tasks, who perform the labor, who are the wheels of Allina, like I told you before, or Abbott Northwestern Hospital. We are the wheels that keep things going for the surgeries to go, for medications to be given. They need those blood results. Who collects the blood results? We do, the phlebotomy team. We're the ones putting the needles in the patients. We're the ones going in the rooms collecting the blood. So the lab can run the analyze the tests, and then the lab can give out the results to nurses, doctors, patients, whoever is looking for those results. And through those results are given to those people, the doctors, the nurses, any staff and the patients. So they know what medications, how much of medication they need, when a surgery could be performed, if it can be performed. All starts with the phlebotomist. The wheels don't start turning. We are the wheels that start turning the vehicle. Of course, some people will say, oh, well, you need to start the ignition and yeah, yeah, yeah. You can do all that, but if there's no wheels on the car, you can start the ignition all you want. And I feel sometimes that's what the management is. Yeah, they're the ignition. They're the keys to the ignition. But if you have a car that starts with a starter and all that stuff, and the wheels are flat or all that, you ain't moving nowhere. And with the phlebotomy team, we are the ones that move. We're the ones that run around the hospital all day. Yeah, you want to talk about productivity, numbers, you want us to move faster. But like I said before, my first part of the rant, you know, if you're hiring new people with no experience, things are going to slow down. Then you're going to slow down the experienced people like myself who have to show these people how to do. We have to slow down our methods. Not like we're trying to break our necks to move faster anyway, but just if I'm working at a pace that's fast but comfortable for me, I don't need management to tell me we need to move just a little bit faster so we could get these draws done. And anytime a nurse complains about us standing around talking, yet when I walk around, I see nurses on the internet. And when we say something about that, management will tell us, well, let's just be the better department. You know, don't stoop down to their level. Okay, well, if we're stooping down to their level, why do you allow the nurses to stoop down to a level that makes you feel that you have to reprimand us as a phlebotomy team through an email or even through meetings that, hey, you know, this, that, that, and this, you need to do this, and in order for the productivity numbers to come up or be at a sufficient rate. Yet a lot of times we're working short-staffed. A lot of times people don't want to look at that. I just had to tell the nurse the other day when a nurse, just today as a matter of fact, I guess we were about an hour late at getting to a blood draw. And like I said in my part, one part of the rant about classism and how nurses can have 5 patients apiece, you have 7 phlebs who have 200 plus patients. How many patients apiece would that be if we were to split those numbers up around the whole hospital? Not just one unit, but the whole hospital. 8 floors, probably 20 or 30 different departments spread all over the hospital. No one wants to look at that fact. No one wants to look at that at all. We're just looked at as you're not getting the draws done on time. And it probably could be because I seen 2 phlebotomists standing around talking to each other for 5 minutes when they could have been doing a draw at that time, is what their argument is. But the nurses call us because we have to appease to the doctors when the doctors call them saying, where's my blood INR? Where's my blood thinner test? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't see results yet. Then the nurses are calling and asking, where are you? Well, someone's on their way. You know, I could see we have these rover things that where we could kind of track where each of us are by selecting what patient we're going to draw, and it shows up on these little handheld devices that we use. And, you know, so you could kind of monitor us in a way already. So you have that factor, and you could see that we're working and not standing around. But management, the know-it-all folks, they seem to tell us we could do this and make the draws get done faster, even though we're short 90% of the time. We're not getting, so if we're 3 people short, guess what? The people that showed up, who's working short and doing all the extra work, we're not getting the pay of the 3 people that called in or the 3 people that were short. We're not splitting the 3 people that should be here. We're not splitting their pay up between the 6 or 7 of us that showed up. No, you're just telling us to move faster. And it can be done. We should be doing this many draws an hour. We should be doing this. Yet, ask them to do it. They ask us to cut down on the butterfly uses. Well, it's easy for you to say when you're not drawing the patients and seeing that you're drawing these cancer patients, you're drawing patients that do radiology and do chemotherapy, and their veins are shot because of chemotherapy. Their veins feel like tree branches. Yet, you want to tell us, you know, we need to watch our butterfly uses. And I remember I sent out an email a few months ago. The management was kind of trying to get at us, saying about productivity as usual, trying to get at us about that. So I wrote an email to everybody, all the phlebotomists and management, instead of management, I send it to everybody so everybody can see it. And everybody's like, Skinny, you clowning, but you is the truth. Skinny, you speak the truth. You have no filter. Because pretty much what I was saying was, okay, we understand. What they was trying to do was they were trying to cut back on sending staff to the ER. Usually we need two people over there in the ER department. They wanted to cut it down to one person. And I said, well, I refuse to work as one person doing two people's jobs when it's busy over there and they're expanding the emergency room. So you're going backwards. You're talking about productivity, yet the ER is expanding, added, I'd say, 20 more rooms to the ER department. So they're adding 20 more rooms, yet you want to cut a phlebotomist out of there. And I confronted them on that. And I said, I understand between the months of October through December, every year you're talking about budget and how Alina's not making money and this and that and yah, yah, yah. And I know it's about the budget. Well, guess what? Management did not like that because they don't like a Negro. Well, I shouldn't even bring race into it, but let me tell you this. They don't like anybody who's at the bottom, who's the bottom of the workhorse, telling management, guess what? We know the scam. We know what's really going on. You could tell us this. You could tell us that. You could tell us Abbott Northwestern Hospital is not making money. Even though we're busy, we're still not making money. We understand that 2 years ago, there was the nursing strike. And you guys lost millions of dollars because you had to pay the nurses from Florida, California, Colorado, Tennessee, Mississippi, Arkansas. All these nurses from all over the country to come and replace the permanent nurses. And you're paying them 2-3 times as much. So they were paying these nurses almost $100 an hour to replace the current nurses that they pay maybe 40 or 40 some plus an hour. So they lost millions of dollars. So they're still eating the tab on that. But what do? Instead of mentioning that, they mention, oh, you phlebotomists are using too many butterflies. Butterfly needles are a part of a piece of equipment that we use to draw blood on the hard patients, the patients that are hard to get blood from. Yet you're telling us because of our butterfly usage being slightly up when the hospital's busy. A busy hospital means more patients. So most likely if a patient's coming in that's harder to get blood from, we're going to use more butterflies. Common sense. But the know-it-alls don't look at that. The know-it-alls tell you we need to cut down on our butterflies because they're not the ones doing the work. So on paper, they look at, oh, you guys are using too many butterflies. So we know-it-alls know what we're talking about. Even though we don't do the field work, we don't do the work, we're not the workhorses. We just sit in the office, type in some numbers, we plug in the schedule, we do this and all that. But we don't do the field work. We don't get on our asses, off our asses, and draw these patients. We don't interact with these patients. But we will interact with you if we hear that you're standing around for 5 minutes when you could have been doing a draw. The know-it-alls. This is what they do, management. Us, the common sense people, will tell you, yeah, there's more patients. We're short. We're drawing harder patients. And that's why when I sent that email from stating that the budget, this is a budget, of course, then they pulled me to the side. No, it's not about the budget. I kind of wish you wouldn't have said it like that. We do have to look at the budget between. Ha ha! Caught you. And that's what I said. I said, well, yeah, I've been working in this department for 15 years. Every year around this time, and it's repetitive, history repeats itself. Between October, November, and guess what? Knock on wood. We get an email just a couple days ago, and my homegirl Katrina, who works in our department, she was like, Mark, I was about to call you at home yesterday because I was off yesterday. I was like, why? Man, I opened an email, and you called it. You're like the damn, I forgot what word she used, but pretty much she called me like the fucking Negro Damas, how I called out. Man, they sent the email saying something about, butterfly usage, and we'll get into more of that about that later. She said, I couldn't help but think about you, Skinny, when I read that email. I was just laughing the whole time, and they were talking about the budget, blah, blah, blah. I said, it's not that I'm a psychic or anything. It's just a repetitive same thing every year, October, November. And she, management even told me, you know, yeah, your email, I understand how you feel. And I said, well, let me tell you why I said I brought up the budget and I wrote in all capital letters. Like I said, for 15 years, every year around this time, October, November, December, we see emails or we get brought up about our butterfly usage. And when we bring that up or it gets brought up, I feel like when you say the budget is this, as because of our butterfly usage, it's because of you're paying us overtime because we're short. I feel like you're saying that it's because of us that we're over the budget and that you guys aren't going to get your bonus checks. Because that's what it's really about. When management starts talking about the budget, if they stay under, if they keep their spending under a certain amount and they make a profit, management, upper management, the supervisors, all of them, they get to split up whatever money's left over between them, and they get the, they get their bonus checks. Do we get a piece of that? Hell no. Those are the know-it-alls for you. The know-it-all peoples, they're the ones that profit. So that's why they get on our asses and try to sweet-talk us by saying, well, you know, yeah, our butterfly usage is up. We had to order some more. We had to order more this time. So, you know, you just need to cut back and this and that. Not realizing also, not only is there harder patients, but there's also newer people. Again, going back to these people that you hire with no experience who get too comfortable using butterfly needles. And some of y'all are probably like, what the fuck is he talking about? Butterfly needles and straight needles and da-da-da. I'm just talking about the pieces of equipment that we use to do our job. And like I said, I'm sure y'all can relate at whatever job you do, depending on where in the pay scale you are at. You see the same things going on between management or between someone else who works at a totally different department, but they're at a higher pay scale, and how they walk around with themselves. With me, with the job that I do, I walk around with major confidence because I feel I'm one of the best at what I do. But I know how to humble myself when it comes to dealing with the patients and with other staff. But I will not take the mess if you try to downclassize me to make me try to feel like you're better than me or that I'm lower than you. I will not stand for that. And that's the problem sometimes that people have with me, because I will speak my mind when it comes to things like that. And they probably think that even though I'm one of the more respected people in my department and in the hospital, because there's quite a few people that know of me or know me, or if they don't know my name, they know me because they've seen my face around for years. I'm always referred to as the tall, light-skinned, bald-headed guy. The tall, bald-headed, light-skinned black dude. Some will say, oh, that the real handsome dude. They make all comments. They know who I am. If they don't know my name, and I'm talking about nurses. I'm talking about, you know, even some doctors, they know me because of the interactions that we have with some of these people. But if I feel like you're disrespecting me, I'm not going to disrespect you, but I'm going to call you out on it. Or if you're talking greasy with me, there's been times where I said, you know what, I'll leave the coordinator desk and I'll say, I'll be right up there. And they'd be so surprised when they see me come up and see who it is. And I'm like, okay, so what was that you were saying on the phone? I don't come up there like a bully, like I'm going to kick your ass type stuff. But maybe then again, that's how they feel. Because sometimes you get them white women that talk to you super crazy, like, well, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I'm like, okay, well, I can only take so much of that. So that's like, okay, well, you know what? I understand we are busy. And if they don't take that as, you know what, I don't want to hear it. Okay, well, guess what? I'm going to come up and see you. You know, I'll come up there and do the draw myself. And I'll do it. I'll come up there if it's, for example, if they're calling for a lab draw to be done and they say, you guys haven't showed up in an hour and you guys and you guys and you guys. And again, that's that classism and you're calling us out. Yet I could go up there and I see nurses on the fucking internet, like I said, wrapped up in a blanket, like they've been sleeping in the chair, falling asleep. Call light goes off. They're like, oh, Jesus Christ, there's this patient again. You know, they just be fussing. Yeah, well, we tell you how busy we are, how short we are, and some of them are understanding. Don't get me wrong. I'm not making this a nurse bash or a doctor bash. I'm just telling you, we're talking about the classism at the workplace, and we're talking about the know-it-alls versus the common sense people. And like I said before, with the common sense that I like to think that I have when I'm suggesting, hey, this would work better. I know I've been doing this 15 years. A lot of us are out there doing the do. Our management sometimes doesn't, I feel like, doesn't take the initiative to understand that, hey, we're not the bad guys when you hear complaints that, oh, they're not getting a draw done on time or this and that and that and this. When you have other departments who be slacking off and you say you're going to meetings with their management and you're trying to talk, yeah, this is going on or you want us to do this extra stuff. That's another thing they try to do. They try to force more work on us and cover more areas and do this. Like I said before about the ER situation where they wanted to pull an ER person, even though they're adding more work, they want to pull a person so they could cover the floor, which is the hospital. When I say the floor, I'm talking about the hospital part. And the emergency room, we work in a separate area where we work in surgery, which is the POCC, post-operative, or the pre-operative care center. We have one person stationed there. But then they want to pull us to help the floor, which, okay, is okay if we're slow. But if we're busy and then say we call for help, you don't want to send us help. You don't want to send other departments help. You just want to cover the floor, which those patients are going to stay in the bed. They're not going nowhere. It's not like the surgery area where if we call for help, we need help because guess what? They're getting ready to go to surgery. ER, that's priority over the hospital area. POCC, surgery area, that's priority over the hospital area. The hospital patients aren't going nowhere anytime soon. And another thing, like I said, when we go there on time and we get turned away by a doctor, a nurse, or a patient, we're like, okay, well, we're going to move on to the next one. Well, guess what? 10 minutes later, they call back. Yeah, you guys could come back. We had to send them away. Can you send someone up there, stat? No. I could send somebody, but it will be after we get up there when we get up there now. Because we were up there where we were supposed to be. You sent us away because you had to do something. You wouldn't let us draw their blood in 2 minutes. A lot of times, us getting there and setting up takes longer than actually drawing the patient. Sometimes, if the patient's easy, it's less than 2 minutes. Let us take the 2 minutes and draw the blood. But instead, you want to do that and this and this and get your job done. Now you want us to get the blood drawn because now the patient's ready to go home and you want us to run up there and snap your fingers and be up there and have a miracle happen where we're up there drawing the blood and boom. Well, guess what? We were there. We showed up. You turned us away, and now you expect us to come right the fuck back? Fuck that. And I tell the nurses that. I don't tell them fuck that, but I tell them, hey, you know what? We were up there. We got it on the note. Oh, I know. I'm sorry, but you think you'll be able to send someone up, like, right now? Oh, no. I'll pay someone, but we'll get up there when we can. Oh, well, we really need his blood because it's a drug level. Yeah, I understand that. That's why I sent someone up there the first time. And we were up there. We were turned away. And now you want us to come up there ASAP. Well, guess what? Again, that's that know-it-all shit. And we're giving you common sense like, hey, again, we have the whole hospital. We're out here doing the best we can. Yet the people that are above us and don't do our job try to tell us how to do our jobs. And that's the shit I can't stand. And a lot of us can't stand who are common sense folks that tell you, hey, this will work if we do it like this. Another thing that I hate is when these doctors order, say, a potassium at 7 in the morning, and then at 8:30 they order APTT. We tell management, isn't there a way that doctors nurses can prioritize a test. See, you're talking about productivity. Let's talk about prioritizing. Let's talk about that P for a second. Prioritize ordering these tests so we could draw the patient one time. Because I tell nurses sometimes, I'm like, when I answer the phone, I'm like, we just poked this patient an hour ago or 30 minutes ago. Yeah, I know. And then I always slip this line in. If it was my mom or dad in the hospital, I wouldn't let anybody come and poke them twice in an hour. If that was my mama or daddy, I wouldn't let anybody come in the room and poke them a second time. Use that blood, even though I know they can't. I would say, why can't they use the blood? That's why when patients say that to me, why can't y'all use the blood that you got 20 minutes ago? I'm like, you know what? You're right. I ain't mad at you. I agree with you. Unfortunately, we can't because it's two different tests, but I'll tell you what. I'll let the nurse know that they should have prioritized these tests better. And I tell the patient that. Sometimes the nurse is standing right there. I'll be like, yeah, I wish these doctors would prioritize these tests better. And I've had times when nurses kind of smirk when I say it. Because I say indirect, but directly. Directly, indirect. I don't know how you want to word it. But I say it indirectly, but in a direct way. Like, yeah, I wish these doctors would. Or if I see a doctor sitting out in the hallway and we're going in to draw a patient again, I'm like, we just drew this patient. I make it look like I'm talking to myself. But I'll say it out loud, like, man, we just drew this patient 20 minutes ago. Man, I wish these doctors would prioritize these tests. And I can feel them looking at me when I say that. And I do that shit on purpose. And it's beautiful. Again, it's that know-it-all shit. And I'm coming to you with common sense. Because you talk about patient care. Well, guess what? If anybody's about patient care, we are. Even though we're the ones coming at you with needles. Guess what? We're the ones that's thinking about the patients. Because we're like, hey, we just poked this patient. Why do we got to poke this patient again? When doctors and nurses ain't the ones that got to go in there with the needle, but they ain't the ones that's got to go in and explain. Yeah, I understand that my friend just poked you, one of my colleagues. But guess what? Now we got to poke you again. Because Mr. Know-It-All, who knows nothing at all about the job that we do, decided that Dr. Phil decided to order blood, but now Dr. Huxtable's coming in and he's ordering a test. And then after Dr. Huxtable orders a blood test, now Dr. Umar, he's ordering some blood work. And then Dr. Dre comes in and he orders some bullshit. He orders a venous blood gas 20 minutes after that. And that's the problem. You have five different doctors not communicating with each other. Or four. I named four doctors. So Dr. Umar, Dr. Phil, and Dr. Huxtable, and Dr. Dre aren't looking at the orders. They're just seeing, oh yeah, I got a BMP, but I ain't got an INR, so I'm going to order this. And that's the problem. All these doctors are coming together, not looking at what other doctors are ordering on one patient, and not knowing that within a 3-hour period, we're poking this patient four times. And like I said, they're talking about productivity. The only productivity I see is we're running around like a chicken with our heads cut off, poking the same patients over and over and over and over again. Roskinia, it sounds like you hate your job. No, I just hate some of the things the people above us that we could do our job. We get paid less than them, but we could tell them how to do their job better. As well as how you could help us do our job better by doing your job better. But guess what? I would be wrong for doing that. If I sat and told the doctor, well, guess what? You could do this better and yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, what do you know? You're below me. You're beneath me. I'm a god. I mean, a doctor. Will you tell me what to do? A nurse. Oh, I'm a goddess. I mean, I'm a nurse. How could you tell me what to do, how to do my job? I'm going to talk to your management. Okay, good. Well, talk to my management because you just asked me on the phone, can you send up your best phlebotomist because this patient doesn't want to get poked. They only want to get poked once, so can you send your best phlebotomist? Okay, well, guess what? I hope your best nurse is present, and I hope the best doctor is present. So my best phlebotomist, which most likely may just be me, just so I could tell them, hey, you know what? Maybe the best doctor and the best nurse need to take care of this patient. So our best phlebotomist can only have to poke them one time and not have to worry about getting poked again for tests that can't be done off of the first blood sample. How about that? I'm your man, Skinny Man. I hope you enjoyed, or maybe you didn't enjoy hearing me rant. But guess what? It is what it is. Fuck it. I'm out of here. Peace.